You're all up there and you have your Bibles. Let's open Ephesians chapter 4 today. We're continuing this portion in here that we've been in for quite a while. And today I want to especially emphasize verse 30, but in the context of everything we've been talking about, our new life that is in Jesus Christ, that Paul begins way back in verse 25. And actually he's been talking about all the way since verse 1 of this chapter. So let's read with verse 25. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, because we are members of one another, or members of one body, or members of one church. Be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And also do not give place to the devil. Let him who stole no longer steal, but let him rather labor, working with his hands, doing what is good, so that he may have something to give to him who has a need. Do not let any corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, except what is good for necessary edification, so that it may give grace to the hearers. And also, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." The Apostle Paul here, as I said, is making a contrast, and he has been talking and discussing about the characteristics of a Christian life. And in chapter 4, verse 1, he begins by saying, our life is similar to a walk, when you go out and you take a walk. And he says that our walk, number one, overarching everything else, has to be worthy. It has to be according to what God has called us to do. In comparison, or by comparison, to those of us that are walking worthy, there is the unworthy walk. Stop and think about that. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, that carry the name of Jesus Christ, but their life is not a reflection of Jesus Christ or God's Word. The Bible teaches us that sin exists. We're all sinners. We're born in sin. And the fact that we die, you go down to the cemetery. The news all week has been about famous people dying. The fact that we die indicates that we're sinners. And Scripture teaches us that God hates sin. God does not want us to sin. Because of sin, God had to send Jesus Christ, his only beloved Son, who suffered on the cross. This brought pain to not just Jesus Christ physically, not just pain to Jesus Christ spiritually, because when our sins were upon Jesus Christ, the Father turned away. The fellowship that Jesus Christ, the second person in the Trinity, and the Father had throughout all of eternity was broken. It was torn. It was over. For that brief moment when God turned away and would not look on our sin that was on Jesus Christ felt spiritual separation from his Father, something he never had before. It was over with. But it also caused grief to the Father. I don't think any of us have ever experienced a violent death of a child like sometimes you hear on the news. With God, it was even worse, because it was we that killed his Son, our sin that killed Jesus Christ. And so it is one thing when we talk about people that aren't saved, people that are not believers, people that have not been born again, that do sin. That's one thing. That's obvious and that's natural and that's by nature. But what about Christians that God says the Christian does not sin? My little children, John writes, my beloved children, I write these things to you so that you would not sin. Of course, if you do, we have Jesus Christ, the advocate, that intercedes for us. Confess and repent of your sins, and God, being faithful and just, will forgive us our sins. But the purpose of our Christian life is not to live and to know that if we sin, Jesus is there. No, the purpose of our life is to, like Paul says, I have the prize ahead of me. I'm looking for eternal life. The crown of life is waiting for me. Jesus is waiting in heaven to give it to me. My goal is to live now sinless, to glorify God in my life. So it's one thing when we talk about the sin of the world that doesn't know Jesus Christ, and it's quite a different story when we talk about our sins as Christians, because they have an effect on God today. Not just when Jesus died on the cross, but that pain that sin causes to the heart of God, God feels it when we, his children, sin today. And our text here says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Sin, as I said, it breaks the heart of God. And it causes, stop and think about this. When Jesus was on a cross and our sin was put up on Jesus Christ, it caused a break in the fellowship that the Father and the Son had. Our text here says that when we sin, as Christians, it causes an interruption in the fellowship that we as Christians have with God, the Holy Spirit. Notice the Bible teaches us about the different roles that each part of the Trinity has in our salvation. Before the world was created, God came up with this plan. He knew he would create man. He knew Adam and Eve would sin. We would break the heart of God, but God came up with the plan of grace, the plan of salvation. It's God's plan. It was carried out by his Son, Jesus Christ, and now is made real in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. So each part of the Trinity is involved in our salvation, from the planning stages to the carrying out of it to the part that the Holy Spirit plays now in bringing us to a state or a condition or a worthy walk that glorifies God. And so our sin grieves the heart of God. Beginning with verse 25, if we don't speak the truth, if instead of the truth we lie to each other, it grieves the heart of God, it breaks the heart of God. That's not why God sent his Son into the world. If we're not busy doing the work that God called us to do. Every one of you has a spiritual gift that God gave you when you were born again. Do you know what it is? That's a good place to start before you go out and try to do ministry for the Lord. And some people, instead of that, they steal. You say, well, I didn't steal anything from the church. If you're not doing your job as a Christian, we've talked about this already. If you're not ministering with the gift that God gave you, you are stealing from the glory of God. You are diminishing the glory of God. When we've gathered together, however many of us there are today, we would count how many there are, 90 or 100 of us or more. If every one of you is not doing your part, you are diminishing the glory that we as a church have gathered to offer to God this morning as a sacrifice, as a morning sacrifice. Are you doing your part, or are you stealing spiritually, not just in a physical sense to go and rob a bank or something like that? What's your mouth like? Is there good words, kind words coming out that build up every member of the body of Christ so that we go home today edified and mature and more like Jesus Christ? Or are we waiting till the end of the service so that whatever evil's in our heart can come out through our mouth and spew out here and diminish the glory of God? That grieves the heart of God. And not just grieves the heart of God, but specifically our text says, and today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Our sin grieves the Holy Spirit. This word grieve is a very important word. But first of all, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. He's not third because the first person, God, is most important, and Jesus is second important, and the Holy Spirit is kind of in the background. No. The Bible teaches us there is one God. He manifests himself in our life, through our life, in our salvation, with different aspects of our salvation. And the planning stages God planned, and Jesus did his part, and the Holy Spirit now is working in our hearts, convicting us of our sins, transforming our mind to make us like Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity that's involved in our life. Paul says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, you're not born again. You're not a child of God. But if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, then he will work in your life and create his flavors and his fruit and his harvest in your life. Galatians chapter 5, you can read the whole list there of some of the things the Holy Spirit does in your life.
The Holy Spirit is a person.
He has feelings.
The Holy Spirit has intellect. He has wisdom. It is through the Holy Spirit that the man that wrote Scripture received the revelation of God. This is the sum total of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the second person, Jesus Christ, and the first person in the Trinity, God the Father. The Holy Spirit has feelings. The Holy Spirit has a will. There are things the Holy Spirit desires to do in our life. And when we sin, we grieve Him, we cause Him pain, and we inhibit and we stop what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life. We do not allow Him to do His will in our life because we want to do our own will and our own desire in our life. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit our comforter. Remember Jesus promises His disciples right before He dies. He says, I must go back to my Father, but I will not leave you alone. The presence of God, whether God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit, has always been present on earth. And the Holy Spirit is present today, literally in our lives, in every single one of you, and collectively in our body here today, and across the world as little groups meet all over the world to glorify and honor God by the power of the Holy Spirit, by His ministry. He is a comforter. Jesus says He will not only comfort you. Remember, Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. Rest from your sin, from your guilt, from the things that Satan and evil demons are doing in the lives of people in the world. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Jesus says, I will send you a comforter who will give you rest. I will send you a helper. The word in the Greek language is tutor, teacher. In the Greek culture, little children were given a teacher, a pedagogue, pedagog in Russian. Somebody that would walk with the child as he walked. And sometimes the child would get close to the edge of the road where he might fall off a cliff. And the good teacher, the good servant that had a love for this child and for his master, he would come alongside and help the child to stay on the road and not fall off the road. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. Sometimes we start wandering away from where God wants us to walk, the worthy walk. The Holy Spirit begins gently to guide us back into His Word, into His path. He is our helper to help us stay on the path that leads us into the presence, eternal presence of God. But the Holy Spirit is not only a person. He is not only our comforter, our helper, He's our teacher. He teaches us all things. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you a couple more things about me that I haven't told you. No. Scripture says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you all things. The two disciples that were going to Emmaus that resurrection Sunday, their mind was totally confused. Remember when Jesus joins them, they say, We thought the Messiah would come and, you know, take over the Romans and establish the glorious kingdom of Israel. And Jesus begins, He says, with the law. What's the law? That's the Torah, that's the Pentateuch, that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's God's revelation to mankind. Jesus begins with the Pentateuch and He goes on to the Psalms and the Proverbs and then to the prophets. And He begins to show them in detail and explain as a good teacher. And it says, by the time they got to their house, from Jerusalem to their house, and when they sat down at the table, and Jesus takes the bread, and He begins to break it. Scripture does not tell us, but I am sure as Jesus was breaking His bread, they saw the nail scars in the hands of Jesus, and it says their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him. And instantly, everything that Jesus was teaching them came into focus. I'm sure as you were growing up and you were learning difficult subjects in school, like math, algebra, trigonometry, geometry. You know, when you first start the class, you don't understand a thing of what the professor is writing formulas on the board. But he keeps telling you, just practice what I'm telling you. And when you get to the end of the class, if you learn all the formulas, you'll be able to get the right answer at the end. And so the Holy Spirit has come to teach us. And as you come every Sunday, maybe some Sundays you go home and you go, I don't know what Pastor George was talking about today. But if you hang in there and if you pray about it, and Sunday by Sunday, you know, the prophets used to say that you teach word by word, line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And when you get to the end of our life and you're glorified in the presence of God, everything becomes crystal clear. The Holy Spirit was sent to be our teacher. Don't grieve him. Don't give him pain. You do it by sinning, by disobeying what the Scripture says. Our time is short. I think we'll pick up next Sunday with what the Holy Spirit does. But very briefly, to finish what we're doing today, the Holy Spirit, as a comforter, as a helper, as a teacher, does several things in our life. To summarize, you want to jot this down. First of all, He convicts of sin. He reveals our sin to us through the Holy Spirit, as a good teacher will. He regenerates us to our life. Jesus told Nicodemus, remember? You must be born again. Peter writes, we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, by what the Holy Spirit does in our life. It is the Holy Spirit that goes to the spiritual cemetery where we're buried. And like Jesus told Lazarus, come out. Jesus says, arise. The Holy Spirit says, arise. And He regenerates us. He opens our blind eyes to the truths of Scripture, our ears to hear the Word of God. And it regenerates us and makes us capable of receiving what He's teaching us. So He convicts us of our sin. He regenerates us to life. Now when we come to God and confess our sins, He intercedes from us. Jesus is our advocate, like our attorney, like our lawyer. They're representing us before the Father, but the Holy Spirit lives in our heart right now. And when we don't know how to talk to God in prayer, the Holy Spirit tells the Father what is in my heart. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, because when you do, He cannot minister and do what God has sent Him to do in your life. The Holy Spirit guides us, as I said, as the pedagogue. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. Read Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He directs the use of the gifts in our life. And ultimately, the Holy Spirit, by what He does in our life, glorifies Jesus Christ and the Father in our life. And the next Sunday, we'll talk a little bit more about what it really means to grieve the Holy Spirit in our life. So may God bless His word. Amen.